Okay, it wouldn't hurt to have two offerings, would it, Brother Perkins? Oh, we praise the Lord that during all the COVID scare, it's hurt so many churches. We were down with a church in Lake Placid this week in a revival meeting and had a good meeting. The soul winners had 50 professions of faith out in an area that's not, compared even to this, not that populated. But they did a great job, and we had visitors every night in the services. And they had me down there preaching because that was the cheapest speaker they could get. All right, all joking aside, we appreciated it. Had a good meeting. They said they'd get me a room to stay down there, and I said, no, I don't. I find now if I got idle time on my hands, I feel guilty. But I will say this, the road got longer every night, it seemed like. But that was me, of course. Anybody notice that the traffic's increased? Boy, has it. It really has. On the good side, we got more folks listening to our radio station than ever before and hearing about the Lord. That's good. More souls to reach. But to we that kind of used to the way things used to be, kind of get a little bit perturbed with the traffic every now and then, amen? You probably don't, but I do. I was thinking, right here on 30th Street, I saw them lined up, waiting on the red light to change three different times. And I thought, when I was a kid, it wasn't three cars a day come down this road. And I was one of them. It was a clay road that had some good clay turns on it. You could practice whatever it is you practice on clay turns. Most of you know. Things have changed, but we try to make the best out of it. Amen. Open your Bibles. We're still in Revelation chapter 14. We've been going through Revelation kind of slow. I've been going some. You listen slow, and all that adds up to taking a while. But it's a good book to be in for the day and time that we're living in, for the changes we're seeing, for the adverse things that are happening, that when you read the book of Revelation, you say, okay, God said that would happen. Now, I know it has happened. In many cases, it has. Much of it is yet predicted, but it's going to come so fast when it begins to fulfill till it's going to be amazing. We always encourage you to rightly divide the Bible. If you don't, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. I heard a guy on TV, he was teaching right out of chapter 14 of Revelation. And he was wrong on some stuff. We start off here with 144,000. It's got their father's name written on them. They're sealed. We find this 144,000 back in chapter 7. Before, they were on earth in chapter 7. They were sealed of God. Now they're in heaven in chapter 14. And in chapter 7, it tells us there are 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, this guy was saying, no, they couldn't be the 12 tribes. The 12 tribes have been lost. So he's making them Christians. Well, they're not. They're plainly Jews because God is dealing with the Jews again. And that's where the error comes if you don't rightly divide your Bible. There is a big error that's existed through history, through what we would even call the church age and the big denominational name churches. In these latter years, we've talked about it more, but there's a bad doctrine called replacement theology. And that is the teaching that the church replaced Israel, and God is through with Israel, and that's not right. Romans 11 tells us that Israel, the nation of Jews, has blindness in part for a while, but the Bible is very clear that God brings them back, and they have a prominent position. He told them he would not make them the tail, but the head. That's a promise, and they'll come back as head of the nations in this tribulation period. And they're hated today. You hear in the news every now and then about anti-Semitism and all that increasing. Well, it reached its peak under Hitler, of course, in World War II. Truthfully, folks, Hitler would have been the Antichrist if he'd had his way. He was setting up the Third Reign, the Third Reich. The Reich means reign. And he was going to have the millennial reign himself. Well, that's what the Antichrist is going to try to do. He's going to try to set up his kingdom. And except God's intervention, and I believe with all my heart, God intervened in World War II, or he would have had his way. He was on his way to conquering all the nations. And God moved for America to join with England in the fight. And if you study it really close, Germany was ahead of us in technology at that time. They were shooting missiles when we had no missiles. The flying bombs, they called it, that landed on London and so forth. And I believe God's grace moved in for us to win that war. And physical things that we did that were right, for instance, we were able to destroy their oil supply to a great degree. That made a big difference, that sort of thing. But that was God's hand. I see God's hand in that because God put him down. The Antichrist has wanted his kingdom throughout all of history. He come pretty close under Hitler. He is closer now to putting it together than ever before. Not necessarily with war. There will be wars predicted here in the book of Revelation. But mainly now today is the brainwashing and the deception that's moved in. We ended chapter 13 talking about the mark of the beast. You know, he sets up his kingdom. There'll be a mark. We are seeing today, Brother Perkins referred to it a while ago, about the vaccine. I'm not against you taking it. Take it if you want to. Might be right for you, might not. I do agree with Brother Perkins. Jesus is the greatest vaccine there is. And with all that said, though, we're seeing how folks do line up for it, how they do what the government tells them to do. And they'll do that in what we call the tribulation period after the saved are called out. I've faced this all my preaching and teaching on prophecy in my whole ministry is people saying, no, I won't take the mark. Yes, you will if you're here. You'll take the mark if you're here. If you get caught out with the saved, that's wonderful. But if not, you'll take the mark. I saw this week in the news where then very likely, very soon, you're going to have a passport stamped that you've been vaccinated to get on the airplane. Anybody see that? That's the big news right now. And so pretty soon, as that mark says, you'll either take it or you can't buy or sell. In other words, you can't exist, you can't live, you can't feed your babies and so forth. That's the area we're moving into. I'm surprised how fast we're moving into it. Anybody that knows much about the Bible and watches the news a little bit, you got to strain the news because so much of it is faked and built up to get you deceived. But even at that, you can see all these things coming about so quickly. The Antichrist spirit that prevails today against the church and God's people is so obvious today. In our public school classrooms in many states across our nation, the curriculum, the propaganda the kids are being taught is anti-Christian, anti-God. It's just as simple as that. I was talking to some of the ladies back there this morning. We live in one of the best places you could live in. We have a good governor. We have a good sheriff in our county. We have the best compared to a lot of places where folks are. That don't mean we don't know what else is going on, and we also know all we got to do is let our vigil down, and it'll all happen here too. To catch us up to date in chapter 14, we are in the tribulation period, perhaps going through it close to the final time. See, God shows us several pictures of what takes place in the tribulation period. I remind you again, the tribulation period is following the saved being caught out. So if you're saved, you're not going to be in this. God may be letting us look at it from above. Probably will. There'll be some things happening above that we're not studying right now. we'll be at the judgment seat of Christ up there. 2 Corinthians 5:10 and other places we'll appear before the judgment seat. Jesus talked about it, that time of rewards for those that have served him. We will come back when we get to chapter 20. We'll come back with him and we'll rule and reign on earth, right here on planet earth with him for 1,000 years. Now, I've joked about it through the years. I got a good banker friend that knows the Lord. And several years back when we were negotiating mortgages on the church, thank God no longer, they're paid off, but we were having to negotiate mortgages. I told him, I said, you better give us this loan, because when we come back in the millennial reign, I'll take over this bank and I won't loan you a dime. Now, we joked about those kind of things. The truth is, God's people are going to be in charge in that 1,000-year reign. It'll not be anti-God and anti-Christ then. That spirit is going to be finished off before then. It's 1,000 years long because chapter 20 will tell us that. 6 times, I believe, it mentions it, the length of time. But here in chapter 14, tribulation period on earth. The rapture has taken place. The church is gone. Things, bad things are happening on the earth. The Antichrist kingdom has come. The mark of the beast has come. And then we begin to see what's taking place here. The 144,000 that belong to God. Now let's just start off. I know we've been through about a half a dozen of these verses, but I want to come back and kind of fill in the gaps a little bit. It says in verse 1, I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion. Now understand, you're reading the scripture about Mount Zion. Mount Zion is in Jerusalem on earth, but there's a Mount Zion in heaven. And a lot of folks don't understand that. You got to separate it out. Mount Zion in heaven, for instance, when Moses was told to build the tabernacle and build the Ark of the Covenant, he was told to do that after the pattern in heaven. Much on earth is patterned after what is in heaven. Mount Zion in Jerusalem is called Mount Zion because it was the place God placed his temple there in Jerusalem. Somebody says it's the holy city. No, there's probably been more wars fought over Jerusalem than any other city on earth. There's a lot of awful bad stuff, a lot of bloodshed through the years. But it's still called Mount Zion. The old time Christians often referred in soul winning statements to people, they'd say, somebody ask them direction, how do you go to this place or that? They'd say, fine, I'll tell you how, but do you know the way to Mount Zion? That was sort of like the soul winning question. Our soul winners this week down in Lake Placid area, one of the things they would ask people was, do you know the way to heaven? And Mount Zion in heaven. Now, give you some proof verses. I think maybe I gave you some. I can't remember. If you were to go over to Hebrews chapter 12, hold your place here in Revelation. Go over to Hebrews chapter 12 and jump in late in the chapter. Come on down to about verse 22 of Hebrews chapter 12. It says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Now here's the heavenly Zion that's being referred to here. I think maybe go with me to Ezekiel 28. And I'll make just another point. Do you know the devil once was in Mount Zion in heaven? Ezekiel 28. It's the high mount of God. It was the holy place, Mount Zion. Satan was there himself before he fell. Satan was a very high up in the authority line of God before his I wills that you read about in Isaiah 14, where he tried to put his throne above God's throne. I'm going to keep on till I find this. I keep missing it by a chapter. Here we go. Ezekiel 28. It's talking about the devil now in the context here. Drop in about verse 11 of Ezekiel 28. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Now, this king here was filled with the devil. He's a synonym here for Satan. God is addressing Satan, who was in the king, just like he later on would be in Judas. The king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. He's addressing the devil and the king, not the king. Now watch it in verse 13. And hast been in Eden. This king hadn't been in Eden, but the devil had been in Eden. The devil had caused our first parents to sin. You remember the story. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Satan was a bright, he's called Lucifer because it's talking about the light. Precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the coinx, the jasper, the sapphire, naming the stones, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Satan was created. It sounds like from the description that's given of the devil, he was in the music part of heaven. That's kind of sounds like he's describing an organ right here with the pipes and so forth. And he's called in verse 14, Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Every now and then you'll hear folks talk about Satan being a fallen angel. Well, to be more correct, he was a fallen cherub. And he was one of the cherubs over the throne. And he was in a high place. It says, And I have set thee so thou wast upon the holy mountain. Where's Mount Zion? It's a holy mountain in heaven. Holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. I'll stop there. But Mount Zion on earth is one place. Mount Zion, as we could generally say, in heaven is another. Satan fell from that high mountain in the midst of it in the high position he had because he wanted to get above God. So it is correct sometime to speak of the heavenly Zion. I think we were singing a song, Brother Bert, a while ago about Zion, right? Now, we were not just singing about the earthly Zion. We're talking about the heavenly Zion. So you find the scripture always consistent, always proper interpretation. No scriptures, Peter said no scripture is of any private interpretation. They all embrace the other when they're properly interpreted. So we move into chapter 14 here. We come to Mount Zion. We see 144,000. Chapter 7 tells us 12,000 from the 12 tribes. We're dealing here on earth now. The 144,000 redeemed from earth, they're up in heaven. But God is dealing in the tribulation period on earth and in heaven with the things we're studying here in the book of Revelation now. They're described as virgins. We talked about that a little bit last week. And they were without fault. Don't say they were without sin, but they're a special group. Exact number, 144,000, they're special. Sometimes we want to call them evangelists, preaching the everlasting gospel and witnessing. They're the enemy of the Antichrist. They're bucking his kingdom because his kingdom is on earth at this time. So this is what's going on. This special group now that's been called out, they said they're without fault. Now we have some announcements made, and the angels are making the announcements as we begin in verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven. We talked about because they fly, folks thought they had to have wings. Truth is, we got a lot of stuff that flies today without wings. But that was man's normal thinking about it. Cherubs did have wings, but they were not so much used for flying, apparently. But they were covering their face as they cried, Holy, holy unto God, when you read about the cherubs. Satan was a cherub. I know Dante's Inferno, it's hard reading, but it was a classic describing hell. and degrees of punishment in hell, and he probably is right on that. Boy, the world has changed so much. I remember first house we lived in Haines City, it was over here on Lake Tracy. They just tore it down recently, not long ago. And on Sunday, we'd get the newspaper, and it would have the funnies in it. They were in color, bright colors. So we kids went for the funnies, to read the funnies on the newspaper. Couldn't read that much at that age, but one of my joys was to crawl up Daddy's lap as he scanned the paper, and finally I'd get him to read the funnies to me. I remember Dagwood before Cookie was ever born. Do you? Huh? Right? I'll go way back. Different ones. Anyway, there was a section I thought more for the adults than for us kids. Now, we'd have Dagwood and we'd have Mickey Mouse. Yeah, I was around when Mickey Mouse first got started. And those I could kind of relate to a little bit. But there was a bigger section, and it was bigger squares. And I always thought that was the adult thing, but Daddy would read that, and I'd get him to explain it to me. And I remember in those big sections how that the funny paper sometime depicted hell. And pretty graphic. One of the theories I remember on it was this. And this is not a bad idea. I don't think it's scriptural. But sometime I felt like it ought to be. My own personal opinion. They would have special torments in hell for people that did special things on earth. Like sitting at a red light after it's changed in green and they won't move. Right? What's the matter with him? When he get out, you know, they say the shortest measurement of time that's ever been is between the time the light changes and nobody don't move. But I remember a fellow that drew that cartoon up depicting hell. He had the guy that aggravated you in traffic in hell, and he was getting certain punishments. And other various things. Now, some of you ladies might not relate to the red light as much as you do the payout cash register in the stores. But, you know, take it all the time. But he'd have these special things that you've done on earth that you're getting special punishments for in hell. Now, the good side of that was he did give a witness for hell. He did show fire. He did show the idea of what the devils look like with their pitchforks and their forked tails. And all that was in the cartoons. We didn't go to Sunday school. I didn't know any Bible. But I guess probably that helped me to realize there was a hell early on that some adults believe that, because I thought that was the adult part of the funny papers that they read. So anyway, the devil was a cherub that covered the throne that fell, trying to usurp his will over God's. And so the 144,000 here redeemed from the earth, they're special people, no guile, it says, virgins, it says. And then another angel comes, and he's, in verse 6, preaching the everlasting gospel. I touched on that. Paul said, if anybody preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. But if you read close when he said that to the book of Galatians, he said, my gospel. Paul's gospel was the grace of God, which we still, of course, preach today. When the church is called out, and these 144,000 are preaching in the tribulation period, they're preaching the everlasting gospel. Word gospel means good news. The everlasting gospel is telling them that the Antichrist kingdom is going to be overthrown, that Jesus is coming back to set up his kingdom. It'll be bad news for the crowd that's on the Antichrist side. They won't want to hear it. So they'll persecute the 144,000. And that's what the picture is right here. So it says the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. And by the way, we have the technology now that the gospel or whatever they want to send around the world, they send around the world. I am not high tech. I'm finally having to move into it a little bit, but I move into it kicking and screaming against it. I remembered I shouldn't have done this because The guy was a good guy, but he worked for the phone company here in town many years ago. When I first come to church, you still had a circle on your phone that you dialed the numbers. Anybody remember that? Remember that? We'd get along fine with those phones. In fact, better than we do now in a lot of ways. But the phone man come in. I happened to be in the office that day, and he come in. Going to change our phones to the push buttons. Push the numbers. So I vaguely knew him and was kind of checking him out a little bit. I said, you know you're doing the Antichrist work? Preacher, what? I said, yeah, man, you're installing the Antichrist phone. He's bringing in the number system. And you're helping him out. Nothing wrong with my phone. Why are you messing with my phone? I just gave him a hard time like that, just pulling his leg. And tried to make him think and get a little witness in about the gospel. But you know what? We moved right into that thing now to where everything's a number. And all the high-tech business that I can't even begin to explain, it's so amazing. But that time now has come where they got the technology for this gospel to be heard around the world. It will be. I've seen folks that didn't have a place to sleep at night, didn't have money to buy another hamburger, but they had a cell phone. Have you seen that? You just look for it. It's all around you, all around you. So we've moved to that age. So this everlasting gospel will be preached to all nations and all kindred, as it says in verse 6. Every language, every tongue, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour, here's the big one now, the hour of his judgment is come. Worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. In other words, the creator. It is amazing how that this world hates the truth that God is the creator. They found some parchments or scrolls or scripture. You might have heard it on our radio in the area where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. And I was listening to the earliest newscast about it, and that's interesting to me. But they immediately dated them 10,000, 12,000 years old. And that went out first to everybody. That's not true. They actually, pretty much by the parchments themselves, can figure out the dates. No, they're not that old. But when they carbon dated them, and I hate to say it, folks, but there's a whole lot of fakery in that stuff. But see, they're pushing a theory. They're pushing a theory of evolution. And to have evolution, you've got to have all this extra, hundreds of thousands of years to make it fit their theory. Later on, I heard an accurate description of what was found, and it came through one of the societies that deals with the old scrolls and parchments and stuff, and they had it dated about right, 2,000 and 3,000 years old. Pretty well accurate, but it's amazing how they shot it out real quick to fit the evolution theory before later on the truth comes out. It'll never come out in many circles. They'll never get the truth out. They always got an agenda that they're pushing, an agenda they're following to deceive people. But God is the creator. That's what the verse is saying. He made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Then it says in verse 8, there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now, fornication is, of course, sexual perversion and sexual permissiveness, of the worst of the sexual stuff that we hear and know about today. One of the big fights right now is they want these men that were born men to be able to compete with the girls, and it's just stupid, really stupid stuff, unfair as it can possibly be. But we've moved to that age. Now, this is a city. It's called Babylon. You have Babylon in the Bible. You have the Tower of Babel where you first run across when they wanted to build a tower to dethrone God, apparently, certainly disobey God. God told them to scatter after they got off the ark. They didn't scatter. God scattered them then at the Tower of Babel. So the word Babel means confusion because he confused the tongues. He scattered them. I've often said they're working on the tower, going to build up and reach up to heaven. And one guy said, hand me a brick. And the other guy thought he called him a name, so he hit him with a brick. I mean, can you imagine them trying to be unified to build this thing, and all of a sudden they can't communicate? Now, God is good about that. And now we've moved, though, to where we deal with the city of Babylon. The city of Babylon comes from the Tower of Babel, one of the biggest religious perversions ever put on planet Earth had its beginning in Babylon. Nimrod was the ruler of Babylon. He was an anti-rebel against God. And if you trace it back, it's an amazing thing how this religion still is around and popular today, that comes all the way back in its roots to the black robe priest of Baal and Babylon. Now, we're going to read over in chapter 17 here in Revelation a description. There's a big arguments today, and well, not so much arguments, but theories concerning Babylon. The city of Babylon that became so great that you read about in the book of Daniel. We had old Saddam Hussein trying to portray himself as Nebuchadnezzar in the war when Bush Sr. was president, Desert Storm. And he actually was trying to rebuild. And the ruins of Babylon, the Babylon out of the book of Daniel, is over there in Iraq. And Saddam Hussein wanted to portray himself as Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had his name imprinted in the bricks of the building of the city of Babylon. So Saddam Hussein done the same thing. And you'd still go over today and find the bricks with his name on them. He was trying to copy it. When you saw him on TV firing a rifle up in the air and riding on a white horse, he was trying to tell his people he was the reincarnation of King Nebuchadnezzar over Babylon. And his pride, though, did bring him down, just like the devil's pride brought him down. And just like Nebuchadnezzar and those others over there, their pride brought them down. Saddam Hussein was too proud to admit he did not have the big weapons he made everybody think he had. I even read a testimony of one of his generals. The general said, we generals thought we had the bomb, thought we had the nuclear, and it was all a con. They did not have it. And so it dethroned Saddam Hussein, finally ended up with his hanging. But Babylon has quite a history. Now there's a, and I just touch on this because my time is gone. There's a big theory today as to who Babylon is in chapter 17, 18 of the book of Revelation. How many of you know there's an area up in New York, not too far from New York City, named Babylon? Anybody know that? Somebody might even be from there, some kind of city. No, I've never been there. So that and other theories go that New York City is the end time Babylon of the book of Revelation. And some folks can put up a pretty strong argument. There's still some fallacies, and we'll get to that when we get to chapter 17 and 18, as to why I do not believe that New York City is the Babylon of Revelation 17 and 18. But Babylon also is a system. It was a system in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, is his beginning, and it's become almost a cliche down through history. For instance, some dictator, some evil person, living a perverted, sinful life, a statement has been made, they're living a Babylonian lifestyle. That means perverted and evil. So in a sense, those that even believe America, is Babylon. They use a verse like we just read about our influence. It says they made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. I hate to say it, folks, but America has exported evil across the world in many ways. Dr. Lee, you remember when we were over in Russia and the preachers wrote us later after we got back, said, tell these other Christians that are coming in not to bring their rock music in here to influence our young people. Not only rock music, but other things. Those people were basic Christians. Even chewing gum in church was frowned on. I frowned on it because I found it on pews before. But all joking aside, they were living a Christian life where the rock music and the worldliness that America was important was not appreciated. And we have exported a whole lot of evil as well as a whole lot of good. A lot of reaching the world with the gospel and sending the missionaries. That's on our plus side. But we've also exported the evil. And the evil seems to have grown and grown and won out. It has in these last number of years. Better stop. My time's up, I believe. We didn't get very far, but this is one of the mornings y'all didn't listen very fast, too. 8:17, that's pretty good, counting everything. Have about 8 or 9 minutes and the preaching service will get started.